today is United States against Pulungan. Mr. Habermill.
Good morning again. For the record, my name is Alan Habermill. May it please the court, I'm the attorney.
No legal change order since the last time you argued this morning.
Fine. For Mr. Pulungan. The essential question in this case, in my opinion, is, and where it got off the rails in the district court, is the simple question of whether or not this particular rifle scope is or is not actually designated by the president, and it does or does not therefore appear on the United States munitions list. Because it's only illegal to export without a license those defense articles which have been designated by the president. It's not enough that it be a defense article. It has to be designated. Designations are done through to the Secretary of State, and they appear at the United States munitions list. However, if you look at the list, it does not, in fact, list anything when it comes to scopes. What it provides is a criterion to determine if some item may or may not be illegal to export without a license. The criterion is that it be manufactured to military specifications. Well, as with any criterion, what you have is a condition, and then you take your particular item and you compare it to see if it satisfies the condition. That's a question of fact. What went wrong was that the government advanced the argument, which was then accepted by the district court, that in fact this particular scope, the Leopold Mark IV CQ/T, had in fact been designated as being on the list, the way cocaine is designated as being a Schedule II controlled substance. But in fact, it just simply is not. Anyone can read the list and see that with their own eyes. What the government instead produced was an opinion from someone at the State Department, that they felt that this particular scope was in fact manufactured according to military specifications. What that anonymous opinion, which is only regurgitated by another person who wasn't even there when it was made, is simply that. It's their opinion. The same as an expert witness, a chemist, might be called to say, this particular white powder I see here in my hand has been tested by me and found to be cocaine. But that isn't the same as designating it, and I think that's where the fundamental confusion began. The State Department can't designate things secretly by simply having private opinions about them. They have to do it officially and put it on the list. I mean, the statute couldn't be more explicit, and the list, of course, is published in the CFR.
There's a very famous case about that, though you don't cite it. It's Carter against Carter Cole, where the Supreme Court says that you can't make up a rule and put it in a drawer and then penalize people for not having X-ray vision.
You are right. I didn't cite the case. It is, however, my concept. And that's the second way it plays in. Because if it's true that they can designate things this way, I mean, if that's literally true, that the State Department can simply have an internal concept, put it in the drawer, then how is anyone supposed to find that out? It's a willful offense. It requires specific intent, and that means knowledge of the specific law that you're supposedly violating and your own knowledge that you're therefore violating and you're doing it on purpose. It isn't even theoretically possible for a defendant to know that, and there certainly wasn't any evidence introduced at the trial that this particular defendant, Pulungan, could have known that or did know that. And having said that, what you have instead was the government being allowed to put into evidence this opinion from the State Department and the defendant not even being allowed to cross-examine that evidence, not even being allowed to ask the questions of why they think that that was true. What are these military specifications? And what are the specifications of this particular scope? You need both halves of that in order to compare them to see if they match.
Did you propose in the district court that there be a hearing under the Classified Information Procedures Act? Because my assumption is they don't want to disclose what the military specifications for these scopes are, because that's classified, and Leopold doesn't want to disclose what its actual specs are for the scope, because that's a trade secret. So one would think we would be within the domain of the Classified Information Procedures Act, and Anybody suggest to the district judge that she hold a hearing under that act's rules?
The short answer to that is no. The slightly longer answer is the government did not rely on it being classified as an objection to revealing it. The court assumes it's classified. That may well be true. It may not. I don't know that all military specifications, I mean, they ordered jeeps and things. I don't know that those are all classified. Maybe these scopes are. I have no idea. I admit that. If that was true, I think it would be incumbent on the government to interject at that point, just as they do in many other kinds of prosecutions.
It might be. You know, if we're in the burden-shifting game, it might be that the prosecution needed to offer a hearing under the Classified Information Procedures Act. I'll ask the same question of your adversary, but I just wanted to know whether this had been brought up, and the answer seems to be no.
To my knowledge, no one thought of it. That is true. In any event, as the case went on then, that kept coming up, the defendant raised it in every, I think, conceivable, imaginable way as an objection, from pretrial motions to instructions, and was consistently shut down, and I believe, therefore, was clearly denied his right to make a defense to the charge. It's kind of as if Schedule 2 on the controlled substances simply consisted of the criteria. Potential for abuse, it could lead to dependence, has medical treatment,
If you look at the military articles, there are actually a lot of these things. Are there cases involving other generic specifications in the military list? I mean, one of them, for example, a very famous one, there was for a long time in the list, and I think the precise language is any encryption algorithm with a key exceeding 128 bits. Couldn't export that without a license. And I would have thought that in a trial for exporting an encryption algorithm, it would be open to a factual debate whether it had a key exceeding 128 bits. But you would also think there would be cases about this. Are you aware of any? I read the briefs and did a little search and couldn't find any.
We couldn't either, and of course, all that means is that for whatever reason it didn't get appealed. For all I know, every other trial judge in the country agrees with us, and it's just Judge Crabb. I could be wrong. But the fact is, if it doesn't get to an appeal.
And the United States has had then the position it has now, presumably it would have appealed.
I don't know that. We weren't able to find one either, is the short answer to that. So as not to appear to abandon the sentencing issue, very briefly, is, I think, the relevant one. The court's faced with a very odd guideline, and to some extent it has kind of the same problem. You have this completely generic guideline which just says level 26 for everything, and then there's this one peculiar exception for certain kinds of firearms that you have 10 or less of. And what we're arguing is that it's unreasonable to simply assume that because this isn't 10 or less of those firearms, it therefore automatically falls into the higher category. Because I think if you accept the court's position on that, and it was partly because of the number, 10 or 100, but the other problem is the nature of it. I don't think the court's position would have been any different, nor would it seem different legally, if it was one scope, because it's not a firearm. But that leads to what I regard as a somewhat absurd result, that one scope would be 26, but 10 guns is 14. There are times when a literal interpretation of a rule can lead to an absurd result. And I think that's the point at which interpretation, whether it's a rule or a statute, needs to leave the literal and try and interject something else, something reasonable. And particularly since guideline sentences are reviewable for reasonableness, that's our fundamental argument about why it's unreasonable. Thank you.
Ms. Duschman.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Meredith Duschman, and I represent the United States on appeal, as I did below. I want to just mention that obviously the defendant has raised three issues on appeal. I think pretty much the primary focus today and the primary focus in the briefing is this idea that a defendant should have a right to challenge the regulatory classification.
Let me start with the question said I would ask you. Do you agree with Mr. Habermehl that no one raised the Classified Information Procedures Act?
That's correct.
Is it your position, by the way, that the military specifications are classified?
Under the context of that statute, I'm not sure.
They're either classified or not. There is no context involved.
I think depending it may or may not be that the specifications for this particular rifle scope would be classified under that statute. Certainly other items on the munitions list would fall into that category.
But your answer, I take it, is you don't know.
That's your safest answer, you know.
Pardon me? That's my safest answer. I don't know whether it would be considered classified under that statute, but I don't think...
Let me ask you, as far as application goes, the kind of question I asked to Mr. Habermehl. Suppose you take the encryption rule, because the military list has encryption algorithms on it, and I think currently that what it says is any encryption algorithm with a key exceeding 256 bits. And a claim is that the defendant has exported, given out the algorithm to a foreign partner, and that the key exceeds 256 bits. Is it your position that the government's assertion that the key exceeds 256 bits would be conclusive, that the defendant could not deny it or litigate it?
Well, the agency's determination that an item with 255 bits is, as you mentioned, is a defense article, that in and of itself
is
not subject to debate.
That's right. That's conclusive.
Correct.
But whether this algorithm has a key more than 256 bits, you would think would be a question to be resolved.
It is. And in this case,
why aren't we there? The regulation, the thing that can't be contested, the incontestable listing, says any scope meeting military specifications. And that would then lead to the question whether this was one of those things.
The category on the munitions list is rifle scope manufactured to military specifications. The directorate made the decision that this rifle scope was. There was always...
I don't understand why that is not in the listings. The proposition, the Leopold Mark IV CQ stroke T is such a scope, is not in the listing.
Well,
would your argument be any different if the defendant had exported to Indonesia a vicuña sweater and had been prosecuted under this statute, and there had been an affidavit from the same person saying, we've determined that this vicuña sweater is a military spec rifle scope? Yours sincerely.
Unless that I could prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant knew that it was a regulated item and he couldn't export it, no. And that's kind of what distinguishes these arms export controls.
I'm not sure what you just answered no to. Is it your... The defendant is charged with exporting a vicuña sweater without a license.
Correct.
And the prosecutor offers an affidavit from this same person who wrote out this affidavit saying, I've determined that this thing is a rifle scope made to military specifications. Would you be arguing that that affidavit is incontestable?
Yes. But the defendant could not be convicted.
That's the kind of argument that's made by totalitarian governments. It is not the kind of argument that should be made by this government.
Well, the distinction, and you raised an argument earlier about, you know, agencies can't make decisions and shove them in a drawer. This isn't an agency that made a decision and shoved it in the door. Let's face it. The defendant wanted these scopes because they're regulated.
No, look, the published listing says rifle scopes made to military specifications. That's not in a drawer. But your further argument that an assertion by a governmental official that Article X is such a thing is incontestable is what leads me to the vicuña sweater hypothetical. You're saying the government has the right essentially to pick up and imprison anybody it wants by making some bizarre assertion, and no judge, no jury, no one can contest it. That can't be right.
Well, first of all, this is not an expert opinion rendered by just somebody, some government, mindless government bureaucrat here. This is a designation by the Secretary of State through the President of the United States.
No, it's not. The thing that is in the listings is such a thing, but the affidavit asserting that the Leopold Mark IV CQ stroke T scope meets that definition has never been approved by the president. It's never been published.
Well, here's the distinction, Your Honor. There is no item by manufacturer model number technically on the munitions list in that respect, because otherwise the munitions list would take up the whole room, and all a manufacturer would do is it'd be on the munitions list one day as the loophole Mark IV CQT rifle scope, and the next day loophole
exactly.
would manufacture
which,
the loophole
which means me
10.
That one needs, if the defendant doesn't concede it, that one needs to have a determination by a finder of fact whether the particular article meets that requirement. That's why I asked you about not only the Vicuña sweater, but about the encryption algorithm. If the list says you can't export anything with a key greater than 256 bytes, it's a question of fact whether this algorithm has a key greater than 256 bytes.
Your Honor, if I might, there's been some argument here about, you know, whether or not the Controlled Substances Act is sort of analogous. And certainly Congress set out an initial schedule of controlled substances, but it also designated to the Attorney General of the United States the authority to change, add, subtract
exactly.
substances on that. In order to
you do this by public regulations. But if the Attorney General came to court and said, I've got PCP on the list, and I now want to testify that the sweetener in Kool-Aid is actually PCP, and that's incontestable, I think that would be rejected. One would go to a chemist, have the chemist test whether aspartame is the same thing as PCP. You wouldn't accept an affidavit from a governmental official that aspartame and PCP are the same thing.
That's true, and that's because the government has to prove as an element of the offense a particular controlled substance, just like in this case we had to prove it was a defense article. But just like...
But you didn't prove it was a defense article.
We did.
All you proved is that some official in the bureaucracy thinks it's a defense article.
We proved that the appropriate authority in the executive branch has designated a defense article. And Congress
no,
has specifically...
You know, that's where you lose me. It is not designated. The things that are designated are the things on the list. So the thing that is designated is a rifle scope built to military specifications. That's a defense article. That's incontestable. The question is the Leopold Mark IV CQ stroke T one of those things, or is it something else?
Same agency that's tasked with drafting the munitions list is the same agency tasked with deciding
exactly.
whether or not...
So you've got my hypothetical. The Attorney General files an affidavit saying, I have determined that aspartame and PCP are the same thing. That's conclusive because I'm the guy who made the regulation putting PCP on the schedule list. And you agree that that's not conclusive. That the defendant could say, no, aspartame is not PCP, and here's why. That would be an issue to be litigated.
In a Controlled Substances Act case, yes.
Exactly. Well,
The thing is, though, going back to the controlled substances issue, an element of the offense is that it's a Schedule II controlled substance. There were findings of fact made by an agency or by Congress which gets it designated to a particular category. Just because the classification of the controlled substance is based on findings of fact by an administrative agency does not then open up the administrative agency's findings and turn them into jury questions. In fact, the Arms Export Control Act specifically has a provision barring judicial review. And the reason is obvious. I mean, what you create essentially is the perfect world for the illegal arms dealer. If they come into this country and try and export a rocket launcher and they get caught, there's a pretty good chance the government is not going to charge them if there is a risk that the biological, mechanical specifications
look,
are going to get turned over.
Missing where I began the question against you. Everybody worries about gray mail. That's what's underneath a lot of this. But that's why Congress enacted the Classified Information Procedures Act. There is a means of dealing with factual disputes that involve confidential information. But that means is not to say the affidavit from a bureaucrat is incontestable.
Correct, except for that procedure would not have satisfied the defendant. what the defendant wanted
How
was
can you
the
tell?
Jury.
You didn't offer him that procedure.
Well, that's true, except for the whole basis of the argument is that these are jury questions and that courts cannot decide these issues,
maybe.
That they're not matters of law, they're matters of fact to the jury.
The defendant may want the moon, but I assume what the defendant is entitled to is his actual rights, and his actual right may be to have this dispute resolved under the Classified Information Procedures Act. But since this was never offered and the government took the position that the affidavit was incontestable by any means, and that's what the district judge said, I don't see how the difference between the Classified Information Procedures Act and some other procedure is presented at the moment.
Well, I was only responding to the court's inquiry about whether that would have the government was under some obligation to do that. I don't think that was really that would have responded to the defendant's concerns that he wanted the jury to essentially have a new regulatory hearing.
You may not be entitled to a jury, but you may not be entitled to the rule anything we put in an affidavit is conclusive on the court.
Certainly in that generalized way that Your Honor just mentioned, no. This is a unique situation. It is a finding on behalf of the executive branch. The thing here that I think is critical is this is not an issue where the government is saying, well, ha-ha, too bad for you. We secretly classified it, and now we're going to get you. You have to prove they knew it was illegal to export. And actually,
I won't pursue that, but there are problems on that front as well. Your brief relies heavily on the fact that the web pages say we can't export this outside the U.S. Have you ever looked at Amazon to buy a DVD of a movie?
No.
The Amazon DVD movie pages all say we can't export this item outside the U.S. And it's not because they're munitions. It's because there are trademark issues, or there may be vertical integrated distribution requirements that Amazon's territory includes only the U.S. But the proposition seeing we can't export on a web page reveals this is a munition is, well, dubious at best.
Unless you think
all movies are munitions.
In and of itself, Your Honor is correct. We introduced a whole lot of other evidence of the defendant's willfulness, including his admission that he knew he couldn't ship it out of the United States.
Yep. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Habermill?
Yes.
What's unreviewable is not whether a particular defendant is guilty. What's unreviewable is the President's decision to put some particular item on the list. We don't argue with that. Of course, we agree with that. What's on the list, again, is simply...
Are you still maintaining this is a jury question?
Yes. The reason it's a jury question is because the list says rifle scopes manufactured to military specifications. It's up to a jury to decide if a particular scope does or does not fit that description, just like it's up to a jury to decide if a particular white substance is or isn't cocaine.
Well, so, Mr. Hanlon, you were prepared then to present somebody, I suppose an expert, to say it was not. Is that what would you do if you had a chance again on this trial? What would be your response to whatever the government presented by way of an expert that this was, in fact, a military scope? Were you just going to rely on cross-examination?
If there was, either way, the fact is we need to know what the military specifications are before we could address the problem. We need to know what the manufacturing specifications for the scope are.
So you had the scope, opportunity to see the scope?
To see the scope, yes. That does
yeah,
not.
Did you have any opportunity to have the scope examined?
No.
You could not have examined.
The government, the court prohibited any inquiry into the entire issue.
These scopes online.
Yeah.
As may be, the problem is that whether or not we had the opportunity to examine it doesn't matter because the court prohibited us from putting any of that into evidence at the trial. What good does it do to examine something?
The question, it's a question I had too, is you order one of these scopes online, you submit it to an expert and say, is this really a mil-spec scope?
That expert would have to know what the military specifications are. We have no way of knowing that.
You can find experts who know the military specifications for sniper scopes.
The court can imagine that. I'm not aware of it.
I bet you can find experts who know the military specifications for hydrogen bombs.
They may be allowed to testify in open court. They may find themselves prosecuted for that.
They may not be allowed to testify in open court about it, but you can find such experts and ask them. And then we may have to go to the Classified Procedures, et cetera, Act to see where and when they can testify.
The fundamental issue that remains, to the, nonetheless, it's a factual issue to be resolved. It's not a question as simply saying it's, there, it's on the list and automatically we lose, which is what happened in court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Hammermel, we appreciate your, at this time you were an appointed attorney, we appreciate your willingness to take the appointment. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until the week after next.